Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Man, WrestleMania week, we're almost there. And your host, the Southwest Texan, Dede Cruz and Greg DeMarc, man, we're so excited for WrestleMania week this week because, I mean, where are we going to be at Sunday, Greg? Man, I'm excited for this Sunday. We're going to be
Royal
at
Oak
the
Imagine Theater.
Dude, WrestleMania Sunday, April 11th, Royal Oak, Michigan, you better be ready because the Open Talk Radio and the Wrestle Connection proudly present the WrestleMania viewing party for WrestleMania 37, and it's hosted by your boys at the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, the Southwest Texan, Dede Cruz, and Greg DeMarc. Man, are you ready, brother? We've been talking about this for weeks now.
I'm ready for Sunday. I'm not sure if I'm ready for tonight. I'm going to lie, I'm still having some difficulties. We might have a short interruption here in 13 minutes. I'm trying to figure out how to fix it. I botched the duration of the show with default set for 15 minutes, so I'll be working on that. Hopefully we don't have a... Man, I have thoroughly botched it up again.
Hey, you know what? It just shows, like, really, like you said last week, how important that Martez is to this whole thing. And he does this day in and day out, like, every day.
Yes, he
Shout
does.
Shout out to Brother Martez. Shout out to our brother, man.
Shout out to Martez.
We miss your productions, man, and your producing and everything.
This guy is so busy, dude. He's the busiest guy I know. He's getting ready for this big party Sunday, Imagine Theater in Royal Oak. I can't imagine the pressure that's on him, the excitement that, you know, he's going through. But I got to thank him for this platform he gives us to have this show on every week, and it's always a fun time.
Yes, and like I said, like every since before, you know, before I even started this podcast, you know, it was, you know, me and Martez knew each other, and I was passing out flyers for my Deathmatch Wrestling podcast, and this was at the Little Caesars Arena, and we ran into each other, and we started talking, and that's right around the time that the other SmackDown before COVID broke, and we were talking about doing the debate show. We were talking about doing the debate show, and that's how the Rated R was born. That's how the Rated R Wrestling Podcast was born, was through the whole thing was through Martez. And Martez, man, you know, we're missing you, and you're the biggest part of this whole platform, I want to say.
Absolutely. Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, the face of the channel,
we
definitely
the
Martez. The best.
That's for sure. But let's talk about, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk a little about WrestleMania and a little bit about tonight, you know what I'm saying? As our brothers out over there at Crab Wrestling are running a great show and a great card, they're going to be running that Re-Wrestle with Mania show, man. And they got such a stacked card. And like earlier, I was saying in the post that Jason, him and some of the talent that were out eating, they were I was like, good luck to you guys, you know what I'm saying? But I know that you guys don't really need it. I'm proud of all you guys, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, you got talent from everywhere, East Coast, West Coast, over here in the Midwest, and you got people from AAA, AEW, Ring of Honor, MLW, you know what I'm saying, Crab Wrestling, everywhere over here in the Midwest, you know what I'm saying, over there in Flophouse. You know what I'm saying? You got everywhere. And give a shout-out to everybody that's over there at We Wrestle With Mania, you know what I'm saying, because we got a lot of great friends over there, and we want them to do the best that they're going to do and get hopefully get seen by the right eyes, you know what I'm saying, and be able to be signed by it, you know what I'm saying? Probably AEW is going to be in the house, you know, talent searching, you know what I'm saying? Probably Ring of Honor is going to be, you know what I'm saying, ring searching, and you know what I'm saying, everywhere else. And hopefully everybody else, you know what I'm saying, is going to get, you know what I'm saying, the right elbows rubbed that need to be done, and because they work so hard all day in and day out, and it's a great thing that they're, you know what I'm saying, that they're all coming in as one, you know what I'm saying. You got matches on top of matches tonight that, you know what I'm saying, on top of, you know what I'm saying, great talent after great talent. They're all great performers and great wrestlers and great storytellers, you know what I'm saying, over here. Well, as far as we know, from the Midwest side of the wrestling, and you know what I'm saying, some of the Ohio guys, but you know, it's all going to be accumulated into one, and it's going to be such a great fucking show, you know what I'm saying, and I can't say any more else. Okay, I guess I'll keep on going, but hello, this is Bacho Radio. Jesus Christ, but the We Wrestle With Mania, I'm going to name some of the matches real quick that is going to go down tonight. Jesus Christ. They got a... I'm sorry, guys. All right. They got the X Division Championship match. They got Ace Austin defending his Impact Heavyweight, or his Impact X Division Championship, against two tag teams, which is Death Threat Army and Tommy Vendetta and Jack Price versus Capital Vices, Sin and Money. And that's going to be such a great match. You got a lot of great matches. Hold on, let me find the rest of the card. I just found something else. I'm sorry, guys.
So, our first guest for the evening is actually ready. We got Horror Slam representative and promoter Rachel Green to talk about their exciting card this Saturday, the Horror Slam Bar Fight. It's going to be like nothing most of you have ever seen before. You probably heard of similar things, but you know, the No Ring Death Match is going to be a thing Saturday. Rachel's going to tell you the where's and when's and how much. Ladies and gentlemen, Horror Slam promoter Rachel Green. Do I still have you, Rachel?
Greg.
Maybe I lost Rachel. Yes.
Greg.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Well, I thought I was talking. Was I talking?
I believe so.
Hello? I don't know.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I thought we had Rachel on. Hang on, let me get back to the switchboard. I was introducing our first guest, Rachel Green. She's coming on to talk about the Horror Slam
Bar Fight, Ring Death Match. I'm excited for that one. Hello?
What's
yeah.
up?
Can you hear me? Rachel, are you on? Yeah, I don't know. It appears that... She should be on, but it's definitely not working.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could talk about the Wrestle With Mania. Like, well,
we're going to have to take a quick break and come right back. Our 10 minutes is up, and I have to recreate here. So we are live right now. We're gonna have a short interruption here. Well, I get us back running live. Yes.
So what are we going to do?
Hang on. Bear with me. This, having a hard time getting this. The page keeps freezing and not loading for me. Different time or duration. How about this? Let's do this. Still ain't happening. Okay. We come back to the studio. I can't believe this is giving me all this trouble right now. So, yeah, we it's like we still have 3 minutes here. I'm going to continue to work on editing this. We, I mean, the studio says Rachel's on with us. I'm not sure why.
That's what she said.
She can't hear us or we can't hear her. But, yeah, that one I can't answer. Well, hang on. Let me try something here. Yeah, this is definitely not running well from my digital device here. Okay, let's try this again.
Unmuted. Martez, you're here.
Rachel.
No, I'm just playing, I know.
Rachel, are you here with us? Yeah, I don't know.
Rachel!
So, yeah, the studio said... and made it.
Jason said, do you want me to call you back later? No, Jason, we don't know. We're botching. We're botchomania.
What's up?
Hello?
Who do we have here?
Jason.
What's up?
Our number one fan.
What's good?
Jason,
what's
you
good?
Might
what's
get
good?
Interrupted in 90 seconds, brother. I'm working on this right
oh.
now.
Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem.
We love you, Jason.
So, what did you guys, for those of you that saw NXT Stand and Deliver Night 1, what did you guys think
I seen
about it.
It? I loved it. I loved the whole thing.
Man, not going to lie, I was on the edge of my seat the whole match with Ciampa and Walter.
Yes,
I literally thought
that was a hard hitter right there. Dude, that match with Ciampa of old, that dude, he gave it to Walter. Walter almost lost the title.
Yep.
He almost lost that championship.
Man, I was on the edge of my seat.
Dude, me too. You know what, for that Raquel match, Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai, that women's championship
yes.
match was straight fire also. I'm sorry. That match, no wonder the main event is, but that match was good.
That match was fire. The Walter versus Ciampa match was fire. And the triple threat tag team title
tag
match.
Tag team, yes. Yes. Dude, MSK. Shout out to the MSK. Formerly known as the Rascals, congratulations on winning them NXT Tag Team Championship. I'm telling you, man. Dude, that was, man, you see how they almost gave up, but they didn't even do it. They did it right next to each other, dude.
Yes. All I know is I'm ready for night number 2.
Yes, yes, I will be watching for sure. I will be watching
night number 2, and then the double... back-to-back WrestleMania Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, yes. Dude, are you going to make it out to the Imagine Theater?
I'm going to try.
Dude, come on and check us out, man. We're going to be, you'll be watching WrestleMania on the big screen, hanging out with us and hanging out with Martez and hanging out with the rest of whoever's going to show up, man.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Stupid work.
Oh, okay.
But I know if I can't make it, I'm going to have my phone set up while I'm in drive-thru watching WrestleMania.
Shoot, WrestleMania, man. I can't wait till WrestleMania. Who are you going for in the triple threat? I'm going for Edge.
I'm going for Edge.
I called Edge's whole...
But
I
at
called
the same
his
time,
whole thing,
I kind of... I feel like Edge is going to win and walk out with the title, but at the same time, I'm kind of a little on Edge. Like, I feel like it's going to be Edge. I want it to be Edge, but I kind of feel like Daniel Bryan might pull up another upset.
No, I kind of have the same feeling, but at the same time, you got to think about this. WWE is going to cash in on Edge because for the simple fact that this Sunday is going to be 10 years to the date that Ed relinquished the World Heavyweight Championship on April 11, 2011. And then what's going to happen is he's going to win that championship. He's going to throw the Universal title crap in the damn garbage, and he is going to bring out the all-gold World Heavyweight Championship, the title he never lost, the title that he relinquished.
Now,
that's
who do you think's walking out? Who do you think's walking out between Lashley and McIntyre?
Oh, dude, to be honest, I want it to be Drew McIntyre. I swear to you, I do, man. I love Drew McIntyre for what his name that he's brought to the dance that he didn't have 10-plus years ago. But
yes,
he made a name for himself once he left to the Indies, went to Impact, became their World Heavyweight Champion, and just simply just flourished and went and did what he was going to do, what he should have done in WWE. If they would have went and gave him, you know what I'm saying, a nice run, like with the mid-card championships in the first run, and then work his way up to what he is now, dude, they would have had a story between him and Lashley. If they would have, and like this vice versa with Bobby Lashley, if they would have let him win the World Heavyweight title when he was going to get it from John Cena back in 07. They should have did that, and then they would have had a better story to tell, but they didn't tell. They're not telling a great story with it. So me, I want Drew McIntyre to win, but I also want Bobby Lashley to win because they're doing a good thing with Bobby Lashley since he's been WWE champion. They made him a monster ass heel, and then they, you know, got him all, you know what I'm saying, with the nice entrance and everything that they're doing with, you know, the almighty name. But
yeah,
they did no storytelling. Like, they didn't do no storytelling with the Rhea Ripley versus Asuka. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If anything, WWE, I'm. This is just my storytelling. WWE should brought back Becky and had it versus Asuka. Like, I gave you that title. You never beat me for that title. And boom, you got a main event.
Right. There
but
you go, WWE.
It's not happening.
Let the Rated R Wrestling Podcast do the story writing.
Shit, I'm telling you.
I truly
believe
that I would do better than the old man, for sure.
No, we would, dude. We definitely would, especially in the way we know our stuff. But my thing is, I'm just super pumped for this whole week. Like we said, we got our brothers over there at Crab Wrestling, which I'm pretty sure is live on IWTV. But we wrestle with Mania, man. They got, like I said, they got people from AEW, Ring of Honor, AAA, Impact, Jesus Christ, Ring of Honor, everywhere. They just got the most stacked card, man.
Yeah, this whole week is packed. Raw?
Yes, it is.
Raw,
the Hall of Fame,
NXT
TakeOver both nights,
and
SmackDown.
NXT TakeOver UK Prelude today as well. SmackDown tomorrow.
Yep.
SmackDown tomorrow.
WrestleMania.
Saturday WrestleMania. Sunday WrestleMania.
And
Monday Raw.
And it
Tuesday
all accumulates.
NXT.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope. You know what? talking about that, let's just hope that WWE has something bottled up great that they didn't do last year, because they're repeating last year's whole location, theme, everything. Hopefully they got something accumulated within a whole year, and we have a crowd that they give us a big pop at the end of that fucking pop of the cork at WrestleMania, let it all fizzle out, and then the Monday after WrestleMania, and let it deliver such a big old, you know what I'm saying, a big show to cap it all off, you know what I'm saying, like they used to, big name comebacks or big name debuts or whatever the case is, title changes after WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. Let's just hope WWE.
I think that's where our returns are going to come. I think like our Becky Lynch, our, you know, because there was rumors that Becky Lynch was ready Royal Rumble time. There was, you know,
speculation. No, she wasn't ready Royal Rumble. They were ready set to do it after WrestleMania. They were ready set to do it after WrestleMania. Like I said, even if they let's hope if they do bring Becky Lynch back after WrestleMania, or even after the Asuka match, and let Asuka win and beat Rhea Ripley, which I doubt's gonna happen. So I'm in the middle of that match also. But let's say Asuka hypothetically retains and Becky Lynch comes out after, like, I want your championship, and then the Monday Night Raw comes out. Yes. Rhea Ripley's going
to
get
a,
you know how I think,
wants.
You
that's
know how I know and
sense.
Think that Rhea Ripley's going to get the win? I think she's going to get the win by, she's going to get it by, she's going to get it because she's going to get a whole entrance live, and she came out and just challenged for that championship. Maybe she's going to pull a Charlotte and just point her hands at WrestleMania symbol and want the championship and get the championship. Let's not hope that's the case. Let's hope that it does come out to Asuka retaining, Becky Lynch coming back, like I said, either after their match or Monday night after, and challenger, take that championship back and come back fucking strong-ass fucking heel.
That's the match and story that makes sense. Now, Becky Lynch was supposed to be a heel. It didn't work. When she turned heel on Charlotte, started beating her with the kendo stick, the crowd went crazy. And they did not expect that was not the expectation. The whole man gimmick was supposed to be a heel gimmick, and it turned into an anti-hero gimmick where, I mean, she was literally the most over.
She's like a Stone. You know what? She's like a Stone Cold
in wrestling.
She
was over
cold,
like Stone Cold.
Whenever you like I remember when I was at a Monday Night Raw, or it could have been a SmackDown. I'm not sure 100%. But I remember when she came out, man, that pop. Whoa, man, dude, I loved it. I love Becky Lynch's song, and especially when there's a big-ass crowd. Like, I remember, dude, I was there when Shane McMahon made his return to WWE in 2016, dude. Dude, we blew the roof off of the fucking Joe Louis Arena, bro. I remember that shit.
I almost went to that show and didn't, and I regretted it so much.
Dude, that show was super fucking fire, dude. Because after with Shane McMahon, when it was commercial, he came back out. He was like, thank you, Detroit. That was such a big ovation, one of the biggest ovations I've ever gotten. Dude, that shit was fucking fire.
He still puts Detroit over in that moment for, you know, what they did for him in his return.
Dude, yes. And then when
here comes the
I
money.
Remember doing Hell in a Cell. I remember Hell in a Cell 2017. I went to that. I went to that, too. I went from 2016 on. Every Detroit event. Every single one.
Yep, 2 years in a row, we got no WrestleMania season Raw around here.
No,
the first show that was canceled was our SmackDown show in Detroit. That was
the
first.
Yeah, it was the first one.
Show
me and
WWE canceled
me and Martez
for COVID
were supposed
was
to go to that. Me and Martez were supposed to actually go to that show together. We were gonna go to Pizza Popolis, eat some pizza. We were gonna go up there and, you know, hand out some flyers. We were gonna do all that stuff. Oh, we were gonna do a show there too. We were actually gonna do a show at that SmackDown. That's another thing too. I remember we were supposed to do a show.
Unbelievable.
All right, here's one.
Crazy.
In that Gauntlet Eliminator match, what did you guys think of formerly known as Eli Drake, L.A. Knight?
Dude, L.A. Knight is going to be something big in NXT, dude. I love that whole match. I wish L.A. Knight would have won because that would have been a good, you know what I'm saying, just as MSK coming out of anywhere else, if they would have let Eli Drake, I'm not gonna call him LA Knight. I know him as Eli Drake. If they let it, if they would have let Eli Drake,
I can't remember
come
that
in
name.
As, Eli Drake, he's a great talent, dude. He's a former Impact or GFW Heavyweight Champion.
Was it? Elimination Chamber or was it Fastlane? When he was on the pre-show.
Fastlane.
Yes.
I want to say
Fastlane. I saw him, I'm like, he seems familiar. Then I went back and started watching some Impact stuff, and I saw Eli Drake. I'm like, wait a minute. That's why.
Eli Drake, dude, ever since, you know, he's been a great talent, dude. It's just that nobody's ever took the time, and they slept on him until, you know what I'm saying, I guess his NWA run. Back of a year or two ago, and that's when he made, you know what I'm saying, where WWE took note, and, you know, now they're putting him in NXT. But, I mean, if they wanted to keep him strong, going strong, they should have let him win that gauntlet and let him take that championship from Gargano.
Yes. I hope they use him good.
Because Eli Drake, especially if they give him that whole gimmick, the dummy, if they give him that whole gimmick, dude, man, even the name. WWE needs to buy that name from Impact or wherever, because he's been Eli Drake everywhere he's been to. I wonder why they changed. Well, I know why they changed his name, because WWE doesn't want to when they make action figures from him. They don't like did the broken thing instead of the woke.
Yeah.
They did the woken instead of the broken. They didn't want to have to be given for the action figures that they make with their name. Instead of being given them copyrights and money towards, you know what I'm saying, towards if they were using their name. So I understand they did it on a business point of view, but they should have kept it Eli Drake all the way and did his whole gimmick from his TNA days all the way till he made
they
it to WWE.
They need to use him at good. I have a feeling.
Don't worry, they won't.
Because I feel like they're just not.
We already know. And he should have chose the AEW change. He could have been an AEW heavyweight
champion.
He'll
be a fucking jobber, bro. He'll be a jobber.
Huh?
Watch. Dude, you got Tommy fucking End. You got Tommy fucking End. And what's he doing? Who's he fighting at Oh, yeah. That's right. He's not. And they got Ricochet. Who's he fighting? At WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
That's all these huge
Ricochet,
international talent.
I remember Ricochet from the Indies.
I feel like they're just not going to even push LA Knight because I feel like they're going to do him like they did Austin Aries.
Yeah,
dude, Austin
Aries fucking botched with that. They
Austin
botched
Aries,
that for sure.
Dude, Austin Aries could have been the great.
I mean, but you gotta,
the
you know what?
Current cruiserweight champion.
I'm gonna tell you something. Is another thing is he take over night two, stand and deliver.
Yes.
I just got text messages that the pre-show is on right now. But yeah, man, that they're about to tear it up tonight, dude. Night one was exciting.
Man.
Tonight
yes.
is gonna be electric.
So are you guys watching this on Peacock? I wasn't able to watch it last night. Or is it only on USA?
You can watch it on Peacock, and you can watch it on USA Network, dude. I watched it on the on USA.
Because I tried to watch NXT a few weeks ago, and it was not on WWE Network Live like it used to be when
but
it was
I
on
got
USA.
But I got the free trial from Peacock. I got the free trial. So
I bought
the
4 months for $10, dude. They offered me 4 months for $10. And I was like, okay, I don't have to pay $5 until August.
Yeah, I ended up
using
Watch
it on Peacock because I heard it was commercial free.
Yeah.
Well, it's
going to
be live.
They showed you part of it. Like, they just showed you the video and didn't play anything while it was, like, commercial.
Yeah,
because
it was live on the USA Network.
Yes. They said night one was USA Network and Peacock, and night two strictly Peacock, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got it. So I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm not happy about losing WWE Network. I love WWE Network. I had it from day one, from the launch day until the rest in peace day, and they sent me my $2.60 or some shit refund, and I went on, you know, Peacock, it was in the email they sent me. They said, hey, sign up with this, I forget what it was, some kind of WWE promo code, and get your first, Peacock Mania, that's what it was. And get your first 4 months for only $2.50 a month. And I'm like, okay. And the catch was you had to pay $10 now. I'm like, all right, I'll pay the $10. So, yeah, then Peacock is half the price of WWE Network. So, you know, you started four months for the price of one. Then, so for us, for the consumer, it's better. But one thing, like WWE Network, really was commercial free. I mean, the very few wrestling commercials they had us watch were so few and far between, and they force you to watch them 45 pieces on Peacock. Fuck you, NBC, for that, by the way. Can I get a fucking skip button after 5 seconds on some of these bitches, please?
Fuck them. Eat a bag of dick?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
buy anything that they make me watch a commercial for. I'm gonna boycott everything they make me watch a commercial for while I'm trying to watch wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
show you
just like this. I'll watch the wrestling. Push come to shove, I'll watch George Lopez when there's no wrestling. But other than that, with Peacock, I'm going straight to the moon.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
I got two phones. I'll scroll Facebook for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Drop a smart-ass comment or two, a like, a love, and a ha-ha-ha, and back to business.
Okay, what do you guys think of the NXT Championship match tonight?
In your fucking hard-hitting fucking match, because Finn Balor is... Balor from, I want to say, his mid-run, he came to the before he came to the NXT, and the NXT of old Balor, but got Killer Cross that never lost that championship, and dude has been doing it since being in NXT. He's
man, I know. Diddy,
you broke up to the point where I can't hear you.
Well, I was saying, NXT, the NXT championship match is going to, who knows? this could be Killer Kross's first loss, and then win the championship after. I'm pulling for the champion. I'm pulling for the champion on this.
I'm pulling for the champion. I'm a big Finn Balor mark anyway, but I'm picking Finn Balor. I think it got to be somebody super special and a super big deal when somebody dethrones Finn Balor. He's already been the champion for a long time, but the first Universal Champion, went back to NXT. He should be the king, and he should be, it should continue that way, I think, for a long time. But
yeah,
again,
Finn Balor's the longest NXT champion.
I like Killer Kross, but I feel like he's gonna, even though he retained, I feel like he's gonna pull a Walter. I feel like he's gonna overlook Finn. I feel like he's gonna overlook Finn Balor, and that's what's going to be his downfall.
Yeah.
So I feel like Finn's retaining.
I hope so, too.
I feel like Finn's retaining.
But I expect nothing less than a classic. False finishes, all that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like nothing less of a classic.
Takeovers
for
are my
Batman.
Favorite pay-per-views.
Mine too, dude, since its beginning, dude. I love the Takeover fucking pay-per-view, dude. I remember when, Bo Dallas
so
was the first NXT champion. No, Seth Rollins is the first NXT champion when he beat Jinder Mahal.
Yep, that was the final.
That right there is what really upset me about Peacock, about how they won't have all the WWE catalog off rip, because I literally won it. When I found out, like, they were having an NXT Stand and Deliver, I literally wanted to watch every NXT TakeOver.
Are they not on there? I would have thought all the pay-per-views would have been one of the first things to go up.
I'm not sure. I don't think I saw them. Like, I know some of the old pay-per-views.
The first thing I ever watched, actually, the first thing I ever watched on WWE Network was, it was Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart sitting down. I believe it was Jerry Lawler that was there. You know, they talked about the whole Montreal thing and everything. But the second thing I watched, it was the test run for WrestleMania. It was the first TakeOver event. And the main event was Bo Dallas versus Neville in a ladder match. And I was hooked, dude. I was an NXT guy ever since.
I knew. The first thing I watched on the WWE Network was the, I think it was Elimination Chamber, or I think they still have the Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view at the time, and that was when the WWE Network first came in February.
The first thing I
watched on the network.
Mine was the Monday Night Wars, to be honest.
Okay.
I
watched
Wars,
every episode of that as they came out.
Me too.
Was another one of my favorite. All the WrestleMania rewinds and
everything.
And then it took me a minute to watch. Now, I was watching World Class Championship Wrestling from the first, and it got to a point, it was actually, I don't know if you guys know the history, I'm a little older than you guys, but the Freebirds turned heel on the Von Erichs, and it was Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair for the NWA Championship in a steel cage, and Michael P.S. Hayes was a special referee, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy was the gatekeeper guarding the door, and after that, there was like nothing, and if you searched, there was a few more episodes, like, way, way after, but I wasn't able to, and they never did make it to where I could continue watching the story the way I did. And then a few winters ago, I decided to start watching every single ECW. And I actually watched each television. And then once it got to the super shows and the pay-per-views, when it came to it, I would stop, go back, watch the pay-per-view, and then watch the, you know, as TV unfolded from there. It took me 2 winters to watch all the ECW stuff. The early ECW stuff was awful.
Yeah, and then
that
I
was
know
Eastern
the
Championship
other
Wrestling stuff.
Sure, I know not too long ago, I just watched the Heart and Soul Anthology on the WWE Network.
Yeah, they I'd be curious to see how they released and, you know, and why. I guess maybe it takes time to upload them, but you would think, you know, $500 million, you know, deal like this, that, I mean, this shit would have been uploading for a minute now, and that I know there's 50,000 hours of content or some shit, but you would figure that by now, you know, most of it would already be ready. They're saying August, which honestly isn't that far away if you think about it.
Right.
And there's
like,
a lot,
for example,
on there.
I want to see some more of their cartoon, Camp WWE.
Camp WWE is dope. And Storytime is dope.
Yes.
Yep.
One of my favorite
episodes
is the one, dude, it had me laughing so hard because the guy's telling the story, but the cartoon that's going on is like outlandish, ridiculous. And one of my favorite ones, I don't know how many of you guys seen, Jeff Hardy is telling a story of how he told a lie and said his super rare raccoon got loose. And when he's talking about how he would escape,
I remember that
raccoon is hot wiring his car and shit. And like the things that are going on in the cartoon are fucking hilarious.
Yes.
But that show should not have continued
one
with Jerry the King Lawler after Mean Gene died, because he was the voice of Storytime, and it's just not the same without Mean Gene. And anytime I hear someone other than him give that opening, you know, monologue, it's like, this ain't the same. I miss Gene. I miss Mean Gene.
At Camp WWE. I think my favorite episode of Camp WWE was when they shaved The Rock's eyebrow.
Yeah. It fucked him up. Ruined him. Ruined the man.
Right. And went to the bar with Rick like, oh, okay. All because
what do you guys think about one of the shows, one show that has made it from episode one is the Broken Skull Sessions. And the next episode of the Broken Skull Sessions, which this fucking shocked me, is going to be AEW Vice President, one of several, Le Champion, Chris Jericho. How the fuck?
Dude, and you know, dude, listen. We're
it shows the pull
on this
that Jericho has with AEW and the spot he's held and the pull he has with WWE. I cannot believe that either side would have allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
Dude, no. Tony Khan may let that happen because he's the forbidden door. But another thing that Chris Jericho did on that interview is mention Sammy Guevara. He mentioned Sammy Guevara. And he talked about how him and Vince talked about it and how he was fine with what happened. And Stone Cold is talking about how AEW is good for WWE because, you know what I'm saying, it's another way of having competition like back in the day. But another thing I want to talk about is the wrestling world is going to finally come at peace because there's a show, I don't know who's running it, but it's called Super Slam or something like that, 2022. And it's going to have interpromotional from everywhere matches. It's going to be from AEW, WWE, AAA, everywhere, from everywhere. It's going to look like we wrestle with Mania tonight.
So we just talked about this a few weeks ago, how we didn't believe, we were talking about the working relationships and how we didn't believe that any time in Vince McMahon's lifetime at AEW. We could, I mean, this shows that he will do business with them. Now, so a few years back, Ric Flair was contracted by TNA and they let him do the Hall of Fame. And I actually heard the story from Bruce Pritchard. And he's like, you know, all right, they're going to want something. They're going to want, well, all right, we'll give them something. Well, what do you want? You want money? You want, give us a tell. I'm like, all right, they're going to want John Cena. They're like, give us Christian Cage. They're like, fuck, take Christian Cage. You know, I like,
yeah,
Tony
I remember
Khan
that.
Is so
I remember
easy going
that.
And he's smart in that. He's like, he'll no sell whatever. Like, yeah, like, I'm not, all right, fine. You want to have Chris Jericho on WWE? That doesn't hurt us. You know what I mean? Like, I like Khan's approach to it and his attitude towards it. He's just so easy going, ah, yeah, whatever. But, you know, you hear people call him a mark, but he's not a mark, and he's not a fucking idiot either at all, by any means.
No, he's not. You know,
Tony Khan is the fucking boss, dude. Anything that's finalized goes through Tony Khan, and Kenny Omega will tell you that,
for sure.
You know. Nick and Matt Jackson will tell you that. Chris Jericho will tell you that.
No, for sure, dude. That's all the way, dude.
I would love to see, though, like,
you
a
know
super
what?
Clash.
Vince makes, look, you could tell them that they're not, because they're not just like that, but they're the number 533rd richest people in the world. Vince McMahon is number 1500 or something like that.
Yeah, but, dude,
it just shows, you know what I'm saying?
That man was a bajillionaire. His daddy was a bajillionaire before he owned the Jacksonville Jaguars. His money came from another country where there's monopolies and things. You know what I mean? Where it's, you know, McMahon did it in a free enterprise. And to me, it's more relevant where he came from and where he is in relationship to free enterprise, where, you know, there's less.
Well, my point is,
he had to make his own control.
Right. But I'm talking about what I'm saying is business-wise. He's taken AEW and made, you know what I'm saying, a forbidden door that hasn't been there for a long time.
No,
and he's doing
it
the right business way.
I'm just surprised from McMahon's end. His attitude is good, but yeah, Vince McMahon is the one that would ever, because like it was said also by Bruce Pritchard, like with WWF and WCW, number one doesn't acknowledge number two. WWE
no,
is
not
number
at all, but
one.
You know what?
They're making more
you know
money.
What? That's kind
they have more exposure.
You got to remember. Do you remember back in 1995, when ECW made WWF appearances on Monday Night Raw back in the day?
That's much different. That wasn't number one acknowledging number two. That was... Actually, at that time, Vince McMahon was giving Heyman money. They were using ECW in somewhat of a development. They had a business relationship. We're talking about one and two. WWF and ECW were never in direct competition. Never. You know what I mean? The AEW and WWE are in direct competition, and they are clearly the one and two in this country. And Vince McMahon is not only acknowledging number two, but he's, you know, he's allowed the PVP or EVP executive vice president, you know, do the Stone Cold podcast and putting it on his network and promoting it on their platforms, which to me, like,
on WrestleMania
is out of nowhere.
Day.
Like, wow.
On WrestleMania Day. Is that going to be on WrestleMania Day or after WrestleMania?
I think after WrestleMania.
There's definitely a lot of ways you can look at that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, they're gonna do that super show where everybody's going to come into one show, and we can end up seeing AEW versus WWE, actually. Even if it is for one night.
That's what I was starting to say earlier. I would love to see another super clash like there was when AWA, you know, World Class Championship Wrestling, USWA, they all came together and the NWA and had a super show, a true super show, where you got to see the Flair versus Hogan, the Stone Cold versus Goldberg, and things like that.
Yeah, I remember when they
on the
Beyond the Mat movie. Remember they did Bret Hart versus Terry Funk. Shows like that.
Yeah, that was a little different. That was the wasn't that the whole Owen Hart Memorial show?
No. No, that was something on the Beyond the Mat, but that wasn't for Bret Hart.
For what promotion did Bret Hart and Terry Funk fight in? Whose show was that?
I forgot.
I vaguely remember that, but there was a reason. It wasn't a working relationship. It was like Vince McMahon allowing the talent to do a show as a favor. Because there was somebody, too, when they had... Somebody else had an Owen Hart tribute show, and Vince McMahon allowed WWE contracted talent to work for him. And like when Vince McMahon sent Taz, WWE contracted star, to an ECW show to win the ECW championship from a WCW contracted star, that was a favor to Heyman. This whole Chris Jericho on the Broken Skull session, this ain't a favor to Steve Austin. This ain't a favor to Chris Jericho.
No.
You know what I mean? The Jericho coming out, Jericho was handsomely compensated, I am sure, to do the,
right.
You know, this show for WWE. And I am eager to see what they've gotten in return, because it would be cool now, okay, AEW gets something in return. Or is this, like you said, the beginning of a working relationship? That would be great to see, you know, and that could open the greater portal for WWE, New Japan, Impact. And where the fuck are you at, Ring of Honor, now? Because they're the dicks. Like, they were like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of at the beginning, because it seemed like Ring of Honor, you know, but, you know,
even about two years ago before post pandemic, they were doing something. Like, they were even coming to Michigan more. They were doing
I mean, as far as the working relationship wise, they're not, they had a good working relationship when AEW fired up. They, it was around the time, cause Marty Scurll had a decision to make, and it was, you know, pretty much set in stone that...
Yeah, he's taking Ring of Honor.
Well, that Ring of Honor wasn't going to work with. And I don't think it was from AEW's end, because at that point, everybody was like, well, why should we work with AEW? You're nobody. You're coming in competing with everybody. Well, now that they came in, consistently beat head-to-head in ratings, which I can't wait to see the numbers, especially AEW, but NXT now too are going to pull, now that they're not competing against each other, and wrestling purist fans that love the type of wrestling products that AEW and NXT put out, that, you know, will have the opportunity to watch both. Let's see what those numbers are. It's going to be interesting to see, because I almost feel like both shows' numbers are going to double, like literally.
Yeah, for sure. That's
I don't think
no
there's
doubt.
That many.
I agree with you 100% on that, because they both put on great products. It's just that you got marks on both sides, and you got your faithfuls, and then you got your, you know what I'm saying? So you're definitely right, and the demos and ratings are going to go up for both products. That's why I
they
that's
should,
why
I would
believe.
Think.
Okay, so now what do you guys think of this unsanctioned match tonight?
Dude, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, dude, that's going to be a fucking That's going to be a fucking good match. That's going to be like the Shawn Michaels and Triple H SummerSlam 2002 match.
What was the main event last night? Walter and Ciampa?
No, the main
event was the main
event
was
Raquel
Gonzalez
versus
Io Shirai for the Women's Championship. Yup. That match was a fucking hot. Dude, Io Shirai off of the fucking stage. Again.
Yeah.
Dude.
Off the skull. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes, that was fucking awesome. Io Shirai, dude, did a great job 300 plus days as Women's Champion. She said when she was in the promotion before she came to the WWE, she was their champion for over 3 years. She could have pulled that off if she wanted to, but I'm pretty sure she's tired and wants to go home or, you know what I'm saying, take time off. But, you know, she could have easily fucking kept the championship if she wanted to beat Raquel. Because she could have.
Yeah.
Multiple
have
times.
You read that she wants time off?
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I haven't
probably that's why she wanted to give up the championship.
I don't think a lot of folks choose to give up championships like that. I think that choice is made for most people.
And they...
No, I'm just saying.
They just
she could have easily...
revealed another match. They just revealed another match for NXT TakeOver, Stand and Deliver.
Well normally in NXT, when a long-reigning champion loses a title, it's a sign that they're coming to the next level. And to me, that's tragic for Io Shirai to be brought to the shit show from NXT.
You know
but
what?
I think that's where it is pointing to me.
It's just like when Kairi Sane joined the main roster. She beat Shayna Baszler for that women's championship, went up to the main roster, went up to Raw, tagged with Asuka, won the women's tag team titles, and then she left. All together.
Left. Yeah, she went to the main roster and said, fuck this shit. How many people going to the main roster and saying, fuck this shit, just release me? It's sad, dude, because they're the pinnacle. And we talk about it, and it's a question I ask indie talent all the time. If you could sign somewhere right now, where would you rather go? Where is the pinnacle to you today? Because my opinion is that for most indie guys, it would be AEW because they get to, you know, try to get over the gimmick that they've gotten over to get noticed at the next level. WWE doesn't really offer that opportunity to very many people. Like, it's few and far between. Guys get lucky, like Ciampa, Gargano, CM Punk. There's not a lot of guys that are going by Ricochet, that are going by the same name and gimmick, and then, you know, they get pushed or squashed, and more AJ Styles than other, but, and most of them end up squashed before too much.
Adam Cole is another one. Adam Cole.
Now, I read a couple of years
ago, they wanted to
bring the Undisputed Era up, and they said they would quit, that they were not interested in going to the main roster.
Yeah,
that
Adam
was like
Cole's
2 years ago.
Adam Cole was the number one that said that. Adam Cole was number one to say that, not the whole group after, but Adam Cole was the number one to say that. He's like, if they take me up to the main roster, he's like, I'll quit. He don't give a fuck about the money. He's well off right now anyway. And,
offered him. They tried to bring him up, the whole faction.
Yeah. Right when they were doing that in a promotional shift for Survivor Series when NXT was around.
It's a shame that they didn't do that again this year. They only did it to start the AEW thing. But they especially
the
this
reason,
year now
that's
that
the whole
you know
why
when
they
were
it.
In a
that's the whole reason why they
when
did
they
it
were
because
in
WWE
a war.
Wanted to show they wanted to show how hot the NXT was and how dominant NXT was by beating the whole main roster. They failed, and that's why they didn't do it this year.
They put NXT over the year before, but that was more when they were first running NXT and AEW head-to-head. But then, you know, this year, when they're in the middle of a war, which that NXT had no presence at all, last year they not only put them in that, they also put them over in that. And then this year they have nothing to do with it. It was very sad.
Yes, it was. And I don't blame Adam Cole and the rest of the Undisputed Era in not wanting to come up, because you notice all of these superstars were champions on NXT at some point. Once they come up to the main roster, practically none of them get a title shot. The main ones that got title shots were like Big E, Roman, Seth, Dean, Asuka, Bayley, Sasha, Becky,
Charlotte, only
certain ones. Everybody else, nope.
Kevin Owens.
So actually, all
Kevin
those
Owens.
Guys that, and girls that you just mentioned were before a certain time. So when they brought up, you know, and, you know, Kevin Owens and that, so right around the time that, right after Finn and Shinsuke, right around Shinsuke, that's about where a lot of the NXT call-ups before actually made it. You know, all the Shield, all the people you mentioned. Only a couple, Asuka and the ones that did get pushes, Aleister Black, Ricochet, they were so short-lived, they gave them no chance to get over, changed their mind and buried them. After a certain point, and if you go back and look, you can almost put your finger on, you know, at a certain point where I don't know. I think it goes back to the mismanagement that we talk about, and
you know what,
you can't say that because you got to look at
Bo Dallas. Look at Bo Dallas. We can't say it started with the other people that you mentioned. It actually started with Bo Dallas. You got Bo Dallas.
Dude,
Bo Dallas got Adam Rose.
Was lame. Bo Dallas's gimmick
That's
was
what I'm
lame.
Saying.
I'm not surprised that they can get over on another level. No, after Bo Dallas, a lot of the call-ups made it. Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, and Sasha, that was after Bo Dallas. They came up after Bo Dallas. Shinsuke came up after Bo Dallas.
I know
Drew
that,
McIntyre,
but I'm saying.
After
what I'm,
Bo Dallas.
But what I'm saying.
Finn Balor was
what I'm
after Bo
is,
Dallas.
Is,
way, Kevin
Bo
Owens
Dallas was
after
first,
Bo Dallas.
He was the first one. He was the first one to be a mess up call up. He was the first one to be the messed up call up.
I don't think
Neville,
they messed up
Neville.
His call up. I think it was an awful gimmick. I didn't buy into it yet.
They could have did way better. They could have did way better with his gimmick. Is what I'm saying. They could have did way better with his gimmick.
His
gimmick
was the same. When they brought him up, they gave him the same gimmick. He never got a push.
They could've.
The gimmick never got over.
Please.
Ricochet got over and didn't get pushed. Aleister Black got over and didn't get pushed. I'm talking about guys that got over and didn't get a fair push. That's I don't think you can name Bo Dallas now. But Neville, they botched his call up too. They turned him heel. He could have been a great heel. He's a great heel as Pac.
Yes.
Yes. And that's exactly how was that worked the other day. We were talking about wrestling and stuff. There were like a lot of the people that got called up from NXT were great and are awesome champions. I was like who? Who got a good, they said, whoever got called up from NXT got a good push. I'm like, give me one person that got a good push. They were like Aleister Black. I was like okay.
Finn Balor. He was
case,
one of the first picks in the draft.
Yes, I was like this. Aleister Black, you're saying he was a good champion on the main roster? He was NXT champion. What title has he held since he came up to the main roster? I'll wait. Oh,
were
that's
him,
right.
Him and Ricochet were close to the tag team titles, but they never got it. And that's where I knew it was fucked. When they took Ricochet and Aleister Black, and I love the idea of calling them up. Nah, just pair them up and throw them in a meaningless, non-story, having-ass angle. And then, I mean, what the fuck?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black and Ricochet, that tag team, I like them. I don't think they would make a good tag team, though.
They
like,
did make
together.
A good tag team, though.
Yeah.
They really did make a good tag team.
But they didn't go nowhere, and they shouldn't be a tag team.
They're two phenomenal talents that did their best with what they were given, but those are single fucking superstars. Those are guys. If Aleister Black is going to be in a fucking faction, he should be running a evil-ass faction full of badasses.
Yes.
He could be the next generation's Undertaker without infringing on an Undertaker gimmick. He truly could be.
Yes.
Because
in-ring
character
for his monster.
I can picture a faction with Aleister Black, The Fiend Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, you got too many Chiefs and not enough Indians already. Those two should have their own factions that butt heads and feud for 2 years. Bray Wyatt-led faction that includes a evil bearded Bo Dallas, by the way, which I can't believe they haven't done that yet. I mean, because it's no secret that they're brothers. You know, Firefly Funhouse faction, the Fiend faction, and then you got Aleister Black's demons, you know what I mean, that could... I mean, I'm not against factions. Like, the way that New Japan, like, everybody's affiliated with a fucking faction in New Japan. And it matters when it matters, but it doesn't matter, too. And that's how it can and should work. That you can use these factions to highlight guys and use guys to get other guys over.
I can see it. Now, what do you guys think of team between Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon?
It's a hot mess, man.
If they're
going to be a tag team, they need to be a tag team. That's, again, too. The WWE, that's one thing I am so for, the women's tag team division. The greatest thing they had going for them, starting a women's tag team division – besides Sasha and Bayley, which is all right, is the fucking Iconics. And they split them up.
Yes.
And they're not the greatest wrestlers, but they are among the most entertaining. They're so obnoxious. They're great. You know, Lay Cool, Team Lay Cool. If you're going to have a tag team division, they need to get some true women's tag teams or make some true women's tag teams and stick to it, like, long-term, not just throw people together like Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon and like, oh, you two are black?
Right.
Oh, you two are, you know, Asian? What the fuck? You know?
Asuka
and Kyrie, they did. They abandoned their single things and they, I believe, were heels and they were great. That was Kyrie and Asuka.
Yes.
Were awesome tag team champions, but they had no true tag teams or tag team division to defend the belt against. They were just fighting against a smorgasbord of thrown together bullshit teams.
Right. I feel like right now a good tag team on NXT for the women's division is probably like Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez or...
Yeah.
Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. I think those are two of the best NXT tag team tag teams the women's division has for NXT.
And God help them poor ladies if they get called to the main roster to be a part of that.
Yeah. That'd help us all.
Speaking of, what do you think of the way?
I don't know. You know, I kind of like it, but then it's like, eh. Johnny Gargano should have stayed as either Johnny Takeover or stayed heel the way he was.
Yeah.
One person
right now, the only, as of right now, the only person I'm a little, like, on the fence about is Austin Theory.
Yeah. He can – I've seen Austin Theory before he went up to the main roster at an Evolve show when he faced Adam Cole, and he was the I want to say the Evolve champion or something like that.
Yeah,
it's on the network, or it was on the network. I don't know if the Peacock got you, but yeah, Austin Theory is a good wrestler. I think they should have him turn on Gargano and let him go on his way.
Yeah. I know the one thing I'm not too keen on is how they'll bring them up, not give them a push, and then send them back to NXT.
I know. It makes it look like in a lot of ways that, like, they weren't good enough, or that they, and it's so unfair. They, who wasn't good enough were the fucking leaders, because the talent's there.
Yeah.
Watch the takeover shows. These matches, I don't know if the NXT promos are so scripted. I know they are to a point, but you let the guys there and do what they got themselves over doing, it works, dude. It comes off better. It's more believable, you know?
Right.
You know what?
To be close enough to the wrestling business to see how they do it on the indies. And let me tell you, promos aren't fucking scripted. Matches aren't fucking scripted. Spots are not fucking rehearsed, okay? Certain spots might get planned. I've seen these things firsthand. I've been so privileged to be present for these things and being invited to be present for these things to see how they work. And let me tell you, there's not a person back there saying, okay, first you lock up and then do a fucking hip toss, arm drag, shoulder bump. You know, nah, dude. They say, you know, this is the finish, brother. Maybe we can do, you know, and they might bring out, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do this. And then when you see it in the ring, it comes in and that's where you got to love it to be able to learn and appreciate the storytelling aspect and you just feel it. And, you know, the guys are taught to play off the crowd and, you know, read the crowd and take it from there. It's not, you know, it's not what WWE has it be.
Like, for example, look at Austin Theory. He was on NXT. Y'all brought him up, didn't give him a push, then y'all sent him back to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we just ran out of time, and our listen, the show just shut off. It just interrupted. It cut off at 7:45. Sorry about that. That's fucking weak. But I botched it at the very beginning, and it was only 10 minutes, and I was trying to change it, and it was having trouble refreshing. I don't know if Martez came in and fixed it for me, but I'm not going to go back on because the gorilla position guys got to set their shit up, and they only got like 10 minutes. Yeah, Jason, that's Martez that I've been trying to do the switchboard thing since for the last two shows, and I fucking suck at it. So I'm surprised it hasn't hung up on us yet. But, yeah, the switchboard says we have no calls right now.
All right, well, shit. You guys enjoy takeover.
Remember, can you hear us?
I'll talk to you guys later next week.
Later.
All right.